Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running a design studio, and more, all for presentation designers, managers, and presenters. Here are your hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
Hi, I'm Troy from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California. Well, that's it. Just myself. It has finally happened. Nolan, Sandy, and myself could not get our schedules to align for an hour over the past few weeks to record this episode. So it's just us, you and I. I'm fairly certain everyone has heard of the new Windows operating system update that is rolling out now. It's called the Windows Creator Update, and it's basically the next iteration of Windows 10. But looking at it behind the scenes, as I've had a chance to do while traveling on a couple of different projects, I've watched the Build conference event and kind of taken a glimpse inside it, done a little bit of reading and research, and taken a look at some of Microsoft's upcoming strategies, and I think they can be a part of the presentation world. Just last week, May 10th through the 12th, was Microsoft's Build Conference 2017. I've watched the webcast and I've read a lot of articles about it, and what I've seen is really exciting. A large part of the unveiling was providing details as well as the rollout starting for the Windows Creator Update, the newest iteration of Windows 10 operating system. Now, there are lots of other exciting announcements that were in there, like the motion controllers for the HoloLens, which was called the Mixed Reality Headsets. Thought that was kind of novel and neat. There was also a lot about the Cortana Skills Kit for developers to create new things for Microsoft's voice control, which I'm sure will be very exciting. But looking at the Build conference from our perspectives, what does the future for presentation design include? Well, I'm pretty enthusiastic about a number of announcements that could ultimately make their way into presentation design and kind of our world. The idea of integrating Cortana's voice commands, because there was so much talk about Cortana. It's not only about maybe running a presentation. It'd be awesome to say, Cortana, pause video. That would be phenomenal during a presentation. But it could also be, I could envision it developing presentations. Cortana, search for image of San Diego beaches and have it populate that search list so you can pull one into your presentation. And there was a lot about Microsoft's push into the interoperability between platforms and devices. I see this as our ability to see a more seamless experience of PowerPoint across Windows, Mac, web, and mobile devices, as well as the application itself being more seamless to work with, not only on the design end, but on the presentation end. So I can imagine a lot of this kind of leading to new presentation formats about being able to build things that work across different platforms simultaneously. There's a lot going on. I'm pretty excited about it. The big deal for me, and the part that I kind of listened to and read the most about, was the Windows 10 Creators Update. It's available and out there. If you're not on, because Microsoft's being really selective about rolling it out to make sure that they don't push it out too fast, that they're kind of monitoring things. But you can force it. You can go out, log into your account, download the whole executable, and install it. But the big takeaway for me, or at least the practical takeaway, was the Windows 10 Creators Update, and within it, there's kind of this overarching philosophy for the visualization of the interface, the applications, the overall aesthetics. It's called the Fluent Design System, is now the term being given to it. When you look at everything, there was a demo reel that went pretty fast, and there weren't a lot of details about how this new Fluent design system was going to be implemented. But from what's there, I can make some pretty exciting assumptions that I hope to see come into fruition for us in PowerPoint specifically. You know, I've been fortunate to get an inside look at PowerPoint as a Microsoft MVP. It's really honoring. Starting in 2004, it was the first year Microsoft awarded me as an MVP. So that means that I've been around since, it means that not only have I had been able to give some opinions of kind of us, the real world users, but hear the dev teams talk about the feature pillars that were driving what they are focused on. Now, I think the most exciting was actually the recent release of PowerPoint 2007. To be honest, it's the version of PowerPoint I have least liked. It definitely is not their best iteration of PowerPoint, but it was the starting point of a lot of great things. I got to see or hear things like talk about the image crop tool, something we take for granted now, but the envisioning of it and the final execution of it were tremendous. Things like color correction for images, the whole rebuilt presenter view, which I've been just lately utilizing more and more. And there was, you know, so many other great design tools that came into being in that version of PowerPoint. So I got to hear about it leading up to it, and then I got to see it roll out and, you know, do a lot there. I think we're doing the same thing here with the Windows Creator Update. Everyone at this point now has a look at what is being unveiled. And I think that knowing and seeing the pillars that are shaping the decisions is pretty exciting for us in the presentation world. So at its core, this thing called the Fluent Design System is made up of 5 aesthetic styling pillars. I hope that the implementation of these 5 aesthetics lead to some exciting options for us in the presentation space. The 5 pillars of the Fluent Design System are depth, motion, material, light, and scale. So they're just 5 overarching terms, and everything about the applications and interface is going to basically evolve around those because that's where the budget and focus is at. Now, Microsoft, I think that Microsoft generally does a pretty bad job of naming things, such as, well, we have at least 3 different flavors of PowerPoint 2016 for completely different platforms and completely different interfaces, completely different troubleshooting methodologies, but they're all named the same exact thing. The same could be said for Skype, because now we have Skype, and then we have Skype for Business. The same could be said for OneDrive, because we have OneDrive consumer version and OneDrive for Business. They totally operate differently or separate from one another, but yet Microsoft just has a single term for all of them. But taking that aside, the name of this one, this new aesthetic system, is called the Microsoft Fluent Design System, not the Windows Fluent Design System. So when I read about this, it kind of triggered my thoughts into realizing that this is not going to be limited to just the operating system, and it'll carry over into every app and feature from Microsoft, which includes PowerPoint, our livelihood. So let me take a little pause here, catch my breath, and go through each of the 5 pillars and kind of what I'm thinking or the notes I've made over the past week. Okay, Fluent Design number 1 is depth. In talking about the new interface styling, I thought it was very interesting that the Windows 8 Metro design, which is pretty much a flat 2D icon-based design, was referred to as dull, flat, and boring frames. Now, I don't necessarily agree with those accolades that were bestowed upon it because I do like them. I do think it's been a great design trend, but the idea of focusing on a more immersive experience where the ability to zoom into the content could take something like Morph and have some possible new layout tools that use the 3D objects that have been kind of talked about, and perspective and depth and all those mixed together can be pretty amazing. I think that the simple explanation of depth in the Fluent Design System is that it adds a Z-axis to the entire operating system. And you have to kind of understand 3D perspective. I'm going to put in our show notes a link to a blog post that was done a little while ago on the presentation, the presentation podcast that kind of visually shows the different axes and how 3D Z-axis is done. Just ties in here really well. I will throw a link to that. But the demo that they showed was kind of neat. It showed a calendar app zooming in 3D style to a like an at-a-glance agenda item to make that the focal point. Everything else on the edges kind of, well, there was light involved, so they got a little bit darker. They got a little diffused. And the focal point was on this element that had come forward. Would be a phenomenal thing to see, to have the ability to do within presentation design very easily within, you know, native PowerPoint. You know, so taking this idea into presentation slides, hopefully in the near future, can give us a way to create slides that are less 2D or kind of those stacked elements, drop shadows and sizing to give a little bit of sense of depth, but actually include a sense of space between the design elements and content. Pretty exciting stuff for us in the presentation design world. Okay, Fluent Design number 2 was motion. Now, I think that our world, I imagine it would have one of the highest uses of motion outside of something like the Xbox Game Group. And there was a fair amount of talk about the concept of adding motion to the overall experience. From the demo pieces, it looked like basically there was a quick morph transition being applied to the apps as they changed content from what content was being displayed to the new content. Instead of just fading from one to the other or wiping, there was just kind of this idea of motion of multiple elements moving, and it was a really cool effect, something we can do in PowerPoint, but it would be great if it even expanded. And forgive me if I pronounce the name wrong, I should remember it since I've heard it like 9 times now, but Joe Belfiore, oh boy, I hope I got that, he was the Microsoft presenter, and he described the use of motion in the Fluent Design System as a movie director using movement to lead the viewer to the story that they wanted to tell. To quote him, "Motion design has a special power to bring all of our experiences to life and lead people from one task to another with cinematic ease." Completely sounds like presentation design to me, and a goal that I work on achieving with many, many of our projects as we try and achieve what we call a cinematic effect. And if the idea of seamless motion can link a presentation and its content into a more continuous or connected storyline, it would be phenomenal to have that type of philosophy override into PowerPoint and the presentation design space. Okay, Fluent Design aesthetic number 3 is material. The focus seems to be on leveraging the new 3D capabilities that are going into Windows, and they kind of seem to be putting it into every aspect of Windows. So things have more texture. They have kind of real-world aesthetics. Standard shapes can be overlaid with different materials and characteristics. I think there's a definite clear nod to the touch interface and how Windows is envisioning the world going more and more to touch interface devices. The same presenter, Joe, said, "We want to bring more of that character to our designs in the right way with a physical quality, inviting people to touch and interact." So the physical quality was kind of realistic looking elements, and the whole touch and interact would definitely lend itself to a touch interface, but we can interact with a presentation. We can engage people with a presentation. In the creator's update, the materials, well, in the demo, the thing that was probably the most visible or seen is what they're calling an acrylic material for some of the messages and interface boxes. Think of a semi-transparent box that has kind of a glass-like view through it, so you can kind of see under it. Everything's kind of blurred out looking through it because it's not a clear glass, but it's also not 100% consistent in its blurriness. It's kind of got a little, what's the word to use here? It's not as perfect of a blur. There's a little bit of bending and warping going on, so it creates a little more of a realistic view. The build demo on this quickly showed some objects and interface windows that were being made up of materials with kind of a more realistic texture. There were some little cubes that rolled. The semi-transparency was there, and there was definitely a more 3D realistic imagery use throughout. All things great to leverage natively inside PowerPoint for slide design. So my hope is that this aesthetic makes its way into Microsoft Office and PowerPoint. Okay, Fluent Design aesthetic number 4 was light. Now, I've done some work with 3D apps and 3D design, and light control is a big deal there. So the idea of having control of the light source would be great for slide design. I think we've all seen, or hopefully you've seen, the demos of some of the upcoming 3D models that we're going to be able to insert in PowerPoint. I've also seen a demo that showed the 3D model being used in PowerPoint, and when you use Morph, you can change the view or the perspective or the camera angle of the model, while the light source can also be a part of that move. So light in just an overall slide setting, not just within that one little 3D model, could just be huge in presentation design. Light adds kind of that element of illumination to a lot of the apps and the demos they showed. Something else that could be great, you know, in a table where you have all your cells, and you need to illuminate one of them or highlight or focus it, could be a pretty cool effect versus throwing the standard red outline around it. So I hope to see the concept expand to maybe like a simplistic 3D model styling light source or multiple light sources being used at the slide level so that all of the content on the slide would be affected by the light source and where it is. Now that's something I can see us as professional presentation designers using to develop a lot of great new styling options. So Fluent Design aesthetic number 5, the final one they talk about, is scale. Well, this is one I'm going to need to see more demos to kind of understand the vision and really know what it can bring to the table for presentation design. The conversation is around scale seemed to really focus on objects. How do you describe it? It was more the when you're putting on the virtual reality goggles, was the idea of being able to see that elements were the right size and in the right perspective in that world. So the conversation was focused on something that doesn't totally fit us, although I think presentation design and virtual reality will definitely have a melding point, especially some of the kind of novelty meetings that we do where everybody's looking for a new and unique way to get their content in front of everybody that'll be engaging. You know, in reading some of the other reviews on the Build Conference, scale was described as how apps can reshape across different devices. So maybe a dialogue window will look one way on our desktop or our laptop in the standard desktop operating system. It'll look different on our mobile device, and it'll look completely different or have a different take on it in the virtual reality world. So scale's kind of an interesting one because I wasn't quite sure where to place it. Of the few demo images, though, and I'm sure all of them were mock-ups at this point, but they did get me envisioning presentation design. Especially, there was a mock-up of a 3D landscape of the desktop where there were application icons and windows sitting kind of on a false horizon type of background. It was beautiful, and it left me thinking of how we could take data and it could be scaled back in size towards, you know, scaled back towards the horizon. And as the presenter covered each point, that corresponding data would enlarge and scale to become the focal point, which would be kind of a combination of the idea of scale, depth, and even light. And it would just be great to see the light and the shadow being dynamically added so that you are focused on the big element that came into scale or very large. The other elements kind of faded away or fell out of the focal point for what was being talked about. So I'm not sure I really understand scale, but I could see some pretty exciting ways of making use of it if those tools were available. In the show notes for this episode, I am going to include an image of that 3D desk environment. It's out there on the internet. You can just look up Build Conference or Fluent Design System and Scale. The images are out there, and I'm sure there's several more out there, but this is the one from Microsoft, and it kind of shows a pretty neat environment. If we could take that type of 3D environment that's being used for a desktop, and just the idea of being able to easily build something like this into PowerPoint content, it's pretty exciting, but may not be coming too soon. We'll see. So the Fluent Design System is Microsoft's pillars for new aesthetics that they're working towards. And it's described as being rolled out in a series of waves. So if you update to the creator's update right away, you won't see a lot of these five pillars and their new aesthetics being fully part of things. There are glimpses of it from what I can see. I'm also certain that these aesthetics will not start appearing in PowerPoint right away, but knowing that Microsoft has a focus, and to me that means there are dev budgets to build on those focus points, some of the new amazing visual capabilities and styling will be coming our way because there is that ability to say, I need to implement these pillars into our product. So I'm confident we'll see some of them coming into our world of presentation design. Of course, if we could only get the dev teams to fix some of the more non-aesthetic elements, like pain points of how we deal with footers and page number text boxes not being consistent on an almost daily basis, or missing fonts being acknowledged, and things that would be just much better to work with in the today. Well, thank you for joining the conversation about presentation design and the business of presentations here at the Presentation Podcast. A one-person conversation is something we have plans to not continue, but Sandy, Nolan, myself, we are pretty happy to have very full design schedules, even if it means we couldn't get our calendars to line up this time over the past few weeks to get into our conversation we have planned. So everyone, have a great rest of the week full of presentation design. If you could rate us on iTunes with a review, it would be incredibly appreciated. It's really exciting to see the listener count continue to expand every episode. And most of that is from you letting others join the conversation or know about the conversation. So all three of us will be on the next episode of the Presentation Podcast. This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, Inc., a design studio team focused on presentation design. If you're looking for presentation messaging, design, show site graphics ops that are all from real presentation designers, check us out at tlccreative.com and our blog, thepowerpointblog.com.
For episode show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.